This is Echoes in the Studio. The actual voices of classic rockers remembered, plus heartfelt tributes from their superstar musician peers whom they inspired. I'm Redbeard, and over the next 3 hours, we'll pay tribute to those departed rock musicians who dedicated their lives so that we could have a little more joy and meaning in ours. Be assured that these are by no means all of the musical greats that have joined me in the studio over the years that are now passed away. Unfortunately, time simply would not permit it. But what you will hear in the next 3 hours are rock music icons of almost a half century of popular culture. Many are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and some paying tribute, such as Eric Clapton, remain at the top of their game today. After 2 nights of network TV coverage and 3 days of extended coverage on every newspaper and online platform in the world, we've almost run out of superlatives to describe the life of Tina Turner, who died at age 83 in late May 2023. And apparently, she was one of the most photographed entertainers in history, too. Writing in the New York Times, Wesley Morris said, and I quote, "She enthralled the masses like she was a wonder of the world, bringing her singular electricity to songs about survival, freedom, and bravery. There was nobody like Tina Turner," end quote. In 1984, singer-songwriter Bryan Adams got the chance to capture Tina Turner's lightning in a bottle for his mega-hit album, Reckless.
I had sent a tape down to them. It was about a 3-month lapse before I even heard anything from anybody about this. And I phoned my manager one day. I said, "Bruce, would you just call them and see if they're still interested in doing this? Because Tina's coming through town." She was supporting Lionel Richie at the time. And I thought, well, you know. So she was coming through town, and we got another tape of the song to her. And we got word back that she'd like to meet me. So I went backstage at the concert, and there was a big room of people. You know, it's like you've been backstage, 50 people. There's a big room of people, and Tina walked in the room. She looked around. She had the cassette in her hand, and she walked through all the people right to me, and she goes, "I gotta sing this song." She's such a great singer. I mean, working with her is such a pleasure, because no matter what you say to her, she understands as a singer, because she can translate her persona onto tape. She just, if that makes any sense at all. She's got a very vibrant personality, and she's a fabulous vocalist. So it was very easy to work with her, and she was willing to try whatever it took to make this work. And so it took a couple hours, and we went through it, and we finally got something that was pretty good. But it wasn't until the mix down that it all came together. It wasn't until the mix that we finally placed everything in the right perspective and used the harmony and switched lines.
Tina Turner, born Anna Mae Bullock in Nutbush, Tennessee, was 83. The only question left is, do you think she knew she was this admired, this respected, and this loved by so many? This is Echoes in the Studio. Rod Stewart singing in front of Long John Baldry's band Steam Packet caught the attention of ex-Yardbirds guitar sensation Jeff Beck. Beck hired the relatively unknown Stewart as lead singer in his high-profile Jeff Beck group, which had a big-time recording deal in the U.S. and bookings there, which included a three-day festival in August 1969 at a place called Woodstock, New York.
That was the breakthrough. If it wasn't for Jeff, I may never have come to America. I mean, that was some band to be in. You know, we did our first concert at the Fillmore East in New York, and I hid behind the amplifiers and sung because I was so scared. Major curse of stage fright I had that night.
Have you ever had that before or since?
Oh, yeah, I get it every now and then. But that was a tremendous, tremendous period. A great band to be in. Ronnie Wood was playing bass and Jeff on guitar, Mickey Waller on drums and me singing and Nicky Hopkins on piano. It's a real good band. We were all in New York, yeah, the day before the concert. We were all there to do Woodstock. And he had some trouble with his home life. And he said, that's it, I'm going home. Well, he was always doing that on tour. He was always just getting on a plane and going home and leaving us there. But he did it the day before Woodstock. So that was more or less when the band folded up.
Close to call. Jeff Beck's plaintive expressive guitar line supporting Rod Stewart's impassioned vocal on the Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions classic, People Get Ready. Jeff Beck caught the train to glory in January 2023. He was 78. This is Echoes in the Studio. Meat Loaf had his expiration date in January 2022. He became a worldwide phenomenon and a category of one with the 1977 theatrical rock album Bat Out of Hell, singing the bombastic, clever songs of composer Jim Steinman.
And by 1984's Bad Attitude album, Meat Loaf was no longer singing the songs of Jim Steinman. God-given talent is an obvious necessity for anyone to make it in the entertainment business. But for greatness and true staying power, Meat Loaf knows that talent needs to be matched by something else, which no one can teach.
There's another word involved in that, and that's called driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of they want to. It's a matter of they have to.
Ooh.
That's the key. It's not something you want to do. It's something you have to do. In the 60s, I wanted to do, I wanted to be in this rock and roll band, and then I wanted to do hair, because it was like, okay, sure, why not? Yeah, I want to do this. Everything that I've had and everything that I've gotten, I can point blank stand up and tell anybody, look them straight in the eyes and go, you know what? I worked really hard for this, and I don't think anybody understands how hard what kind of work it is. But to get there, you have to work your ass off. This is not anybody who thinks that this is, like money for nothing, chicks for free, Dire Straits. I got news for the refrigerator pairman. You want to know about work? You want to know what it is? Come and step in the shoes of some of these people. Other than getting hit by some 300-pound defensive lineman, I think anybody who does anything to that intensity level, like a football player or a doctor or a true teacher, you never take these things off. I watch my mother as a teacher. There was no off for my mother. She was a teacher. She taught at school. She came home. She did this. She did that. She had to write this. She had to do that. Weekends, she was doing this. There was no off. If you're a doctor, there's no off. If you're a professional football player, yeah, you get off, but you still have to do that. And if you're an entertainer, you can take a break, but there's no off.
Oh, I would do anything for love.
some days it don't come easy, and some days it don't come hard. Some days it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. And some nights you're breathing fire, and some nights you're caught in ice. Some nights you're like nothing I've ever seen before, will again. And maybe I'm crazy, oh it's crazy and it's true. I know you can save me, no one else can save me now but you. As long as the planets are turning, as long as the stars are burning, seal a pact. But I'll never forgive myself if we don't go all the way tonight. And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
I would do anything for love, anything you've been dreaming of, but I just won't do that. I would do anything for love, anything you've been dreaming of, but I just won't do that. I would do anything for love, anything you've been dreaming of, but I just
some days I pray for soul. Some days I just pray to the god of
sex and drums and rock and roll.
And some nights I lose the feeling, and some nights I lose control. Some nights I just lose it all when I watch it dance and the thunder rolls. And maybe I'm lonely, that's all I'm qualified to be. That's just one and only.
I would do anything.
stop dreaming of you every night of my life. No way, I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
Will you raise
that.
Me up? Will you help me down? Will you get me right out of this godforsaken town? Will you make tight? Can you colorize my life? I'm so sick of black and white. Can you make it all a little less old?
I can do that.
Composer Jim Steinman died first in April 2021. Then Meatloaf, born Marvin Lee Adday in Dallas, Texas, passed away 9 months later at the age of 74. This is Echoes in the Studio. The actual voices of classic rockers remembered, plus heartfelt tributes from their superstar musician peers whom they inspired. I'm Redbeard. Pianist, singer-songwriter Christine Perfect had quietly joined English blues rock band Fleetwood Mac 50 years before she died in late November 2022. Along the way, she married and then divorced Fleetwood Mac bass player John McVie, wrote and sang many of the band's subsequent hits, and made Fleetwood Mac one of the most popular bands in rock history. Stevie Nicks joined the band, along with her boyfriend, then Lindsey Buckingham, and first recorded with Christine McVie for the 1975 Fleetwood Mac White Album. Okay, now try to imagine this. With this new band lineup, four of the five were lovers with somebody in the band. But what about Christine McVie and the other woman, Stevie Nicks?
I was quiet, and I didn't come on too strong. I didn't make too many suggestions, and I didn't bug Christine, and I decided I'm just going to make really good friends with this woman, and that'll settle all these problems. And Chris, I think from the very beginning, you know, I mean, I became sort of the baby, you know, of the band. I mean, the baby sister for sure. And Chris and I spent an awful lot of time together by ourselves, because those were in the days when there were no makeup artists, no wardrobe mistresses. There was no other girls. There was just me and Chris, and there was 100 guys. And Chris and I shared a room many times, and if not shared one, had an adjoining room. I mean, Christine and I spent many a night sharing a room in a Holiday Inn, because those were the times when Chris and I really talked. you know, I mean, and what she was going through, what I was going through. We were both terrific at giving advice, not too terrific at using it ourselves, but we were just very involved in everybody else's relationship, you know, I mean, because we had nobody else to talk to.
Why not lie here in my arms and listen to the night? You must know you have certain charms, and I feel the time is right. So
written and sung by Christine McVie. That's Fleetwood Mac from the Bear Trees album with Spare Me a Little. Christine McVie was 79. This is Echoes in the studio. After a storied life and career, David Crosby still believes that music does have the power to change the world.
It was a strange time. It was a good time artistically. That much strong feeling. You know, civil rights, too, was still
cooking
at that point.
Civil rights was a big issue.
And that much strong feeling about issues generates good art. So we had a lot of stuff to feel and write about. For an artist, that's prime stuff. That's
fertile ground.
Yeah, right? Fertile ground. I wish we had as much idealism going now in the country as we did then. I long for it, you know. I love to see principles. I love to see ideals. I love to see people caring about stuff. You know, a set of values is the essence for being a decent human being.
I agree. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Without it, you know, if you just get this laissez-faire kind of, you know, I don't give a damn attitude, then you don't have a citizen and you don't have much of a person.
It's been a long time coming. It's going to be a long
appears to be an awful. Appears to be an awful.
Time is a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
On the night of Robert F. Kennedy's June 1968 assassination in California, that's Crosby, Stills, and Nash with Long Time Gone. Precocious to a fault in The Byrds, essential to rock history in Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and a wonderful body of work with Graham Nash and solo, David Crosby beat a life-threatening addiction to become an elder statesman in music. Crosby passed away in January 2023, at 81. This is Echoes in the Studio. Now, the name Procol Harum actually was copped the name from a cat that belonged to a friend of their manager. The band Procol Harum was the brainchild of piano-playing singer and composer Gary Brooker and lyricist Keith Reid. As the singer for the Paramounts in the early 60s in London, Brooker had been heralded as one of the finest white R&B singers in all of England. The Paramounts were well known for their covers of hip, obscure American soul songs, rivals to the fledgling Rolling Stones. Meanwhile, Keith Reid was busy writing poetry, and he wanted to get into song lyrics in hopes of hooking up with someone who could add music. Luckily, the gods of rock were looking out for Brooker and Reid, because when a local club DJ named
named Guy Stevens introduced the pair, a rare partnership formed, not unlike that of Elton John and Bernie Taupin years later. The next step, as Brooker and Reed recall, was to figure out what to do with their music. First, Gary Brooker of Procol Harum.
Of course, for a short while there, we thought we were songwriters. And so we tried to sell our songs, if you like, by going to people that I'd known in the business already through the Paramounts. But we didn't have very much luck. It didn't take long before we sat down one day with Guy as well and said, well, I think if we're going to do anything with these songs, we shall have to do them ourselves. In other words, I'd have to come out of retirement and start singing. And so then we thought, what sort of band should we have? We liked very much the old R&B sounds, and, you know, we liked Booker T and we liked Bob Dylan records. And an important part of that was, I mean, obviously you can't do away with bass and drums. We'd always like blues guitar. But the main difference, I suppose, was that we wanted to have both a piano and an organ. Up till then, I think any groups had only had one keyboard player, because obviously you had two. It was two, you know, it was less money to share out. But we really wanted to have that big breadth of sound, and that was where the problem was, because there wasn't many organ players. But
Fate's kindly on us.
Equaled only by Queen's later hit, Bohemian Rhapsody, lyricist Keith Reid's psychedelic tale of a boisterous party set to music borrowed from Johannes Sebastian Bach. Called A Whiter Shade of Pale, it was Procol Harum's number one debut single. It was a number one hit virtually the world over, A Whiter Shade of Pale. It caught everybody by surprise. Everyone, that is, except the band Procol Harum. Here's lyricist Keith Reid.
Certainly thought that the record was going to be successful. I think when you make your first record, you always think it's going to be successful because you don't know any better. You think, oh, it's my first, you know, it's like people thinking, you know, I'm going to be discovered and I'm going to be a big star. You know, you make your first record and you imagine everyone's going to go and buy it. We were incredibly lucky because people did. I think the record company, I mean, we were certainly could never have dreamed of the overall success it would have. And to imagine, you know, especially that it's a record that's still played today or for all this time, that's something we could, I don't think, ever have imagined. But I think we expected the record to be a success. As Matthew said, we thought we were going to be successful. You know, we had all these, you know, I guess, dreams and grandiose ideas. And at first, it all came out right. It was later on that reality caught up with us.
At first just ghosty, turn the wider shade of pale. Thank you.
Singer-pianist Gary Brooker died in February 2022, and Procol Harum lyricist Keith Reid followed in March 2023. I'm Redbeard. This is Echoes in the Studio.